Our speaker today is Adrienne Matheson Smith, and she's a new member of our fellowship and relatively new to us. But we have she was born and raised a Quaker, and I feel some affiliation with her because we spent a number of years in a Quaker community here in Thunder Bay. Some of you might remember Nancy and Ian Clark. They were sort of led the group, and they're both gone now, and there is no Quaker group here in town. But with that, I present Adrienne.
Thank you. As many of you know, I am a Quaker. This is the common term for members of the Religious Society of Friends. And today I'd like to introduce you to my faith and my experience growing up in this community. When one grows up in a particular religious community, it may seem simple. That is until you want to explain your experience with those who have no knowledge of it. I will admit I was unsure of how to approach the subject, but I decided to concentrate on a brief history of Friends, where Friends are at now, and some of the more universal beliefs that they share, and my personal experience growing up attending meeting. Then I would be delighted if you would join me in a short version of a Quaker meeting. For clarification, Friends, spelled with a capital F, is used within Quaker circles to refer to each other, and we call our version of church meeting. I'll be using both of these terms throughout my talk. Please bear in mind that I'll be leaving out a great deal of the rich history, as well as many of the beliefs, as what I'll be concentrating on is colored by my own personal experience. From The Amazing Facts of Quaker Worship by George H. Gorman. What's so amazing about Quaker worship? It is that for over 300 years, groups of ordinary people have met together in silence, without the aids of a trained leader, or of liturgy, ritual, or outward sacrament. Week by week, they have shared in a corporate experiment of silent yet open worship. The Religious Society of Friends began as a movement in the northwest of England. George Fox is best known for starting the movement. However, many other early Friends were instrumental in forming and spreading the religion. For some historical context, it was the mid-1600s in England. Many Protestants wanted to more fully reform the church, since the formation of the Church of England about a century ago was more of a political reform than a theological one, and many radical thinkers were frustrated by this. In this climate, there were more radical religious ideas being discussed, and along with it, a new sense of possibility. In 1647, George Fox was discontent with the church in England. He disagreed with the notion that ministers needed to be educated in Oxford and Cambridge, and furthermore, he found that no minister was able to properly speak of his personal condition. Out of this, he had the revelation that he could communicate with God himself, and God, the teacher, could speak inwardly and directly to each person. This communication was available to anyone and made it so that priests and sermons became unnecessary. While many of the beliefs of Quakers have split and changed over the years, the idea and experience of direct encounter is central for all Quakers. Over the next few years, he told his ideas to others, and many started to believe in what he was saying. In May of 1652, Fox felt moved by the Lord to climb Pendle Hill in Lancashire. At the top and on his way down, he had a vision of a, and I quote, great people to be gathered and dressed in white raiment. This vision was critical because it was the basis for starting a new church instead of preaching and spreading the truth to try to reform the current church. 2 weeks after this revelation, he drew a crowd of hundreds in Sedbergh. This moment was a major preaching success and more formally began the Quaker movement. These early Quakers believed that their experience of direct encounter was the second coming of Christ that Christians were looking for. They claimed that the second coming was an inward experience of direct communication with God. Because of this, they believed that the way the church had been running was now anachronistic and belonged to the past. This belief meant that church sacraments were unnecessary, and every day and every place were equally holy. Sunday, Christmas, and Easter were not celebrated by these early friends. As well, Quakers met anywhere to worship. Meeting houses only became necessary to build when their own homes became too small to meet in. Silence was adopted as the medium to hear God. These early meetings usually lasted several hours and had large amounts of preaching interspersed with smaller stretches of silence. Everyone was considered an equal, and everyone was able to speak if prompted to by the Lord. This meant that women were equal in the meeting, which at the time was significantly different to how most of the society worked, and this equality was critical to Quakers' early success. Quakers stood out at this time for many things. They wore plain clothes and used plain language. They refused to swear to tell the truth in court, since they claimed to maintain honesty at all times. At their store, prices were fixed at the same price for everyone, and haggling didn't occur. These businesses also closed for meeting on Wednesday and Sunday, known by them as the first and fourth day, regardless of any other holiday celebrated by other Christians, such as Christmas. These early Quaker communities were very closed off, only marrying within the faith. Fast forwarding to modern times, much changed for Quakers. Talk of them being the Second Coming faded quickly in the early years of the movement. The strictly plain clothes and talk was replaced by a looser testimony of simplicity, and Quakers no longer stuck to their close communities exclusively. Today, there are three branches of Quakers: Evangelical Friends, Conservative Friends, and Liberal Friends. The main issue that caused Friends to split into three was the level of authority given to the inward experience versus scriptural authority. Evangelical Friends put scripture as primary and used spiritual experience to help interpret it. These friends have semi-program meetings with a pastor leaving services and with parts open to testimony from the members. Their primary identity are as Christians. Often their places of worship are called Quaker churches. They also believe in the salvation of mission work. As of 2000, about 83% of the world's Quakers belong to program evangelical meetings. Conservative Friends consider spiritual experience to be primary and scripture secondary. They have unprogrammed meetings and consider Quakers to be their primary identity. Many conservative friends believe in the truth of theology. However, others believe that theology is more symbolic. Liberal Friends consider experience to be primary. They identify as Quakers first and foremost, and their members go from considering themselves to be Christian to non-theists. They have unprogrammed worship and non-visible leadership. Liberal Friends often use the term light to represent God or the goodness inside everyone or how everyone is interconnected. They are held together by their distinct form of worship and not their theology. This was the branch that I was raised in. As you can tell, beliefs vary wildly within Quakerism. Some key theological ideas that tie Quakers together are the concept of direct inward encounter and communication, a voteless way of conducting business, the spiritual equality of everyone, and a preference for peace, pacifism, and commitment to other forms of social witness. Growing up in a Quaker family, I was able to question the world around me and form my own opinions. My parents are both Quaker. My dad grew up attending the Toronto meeting, and he, his sisters, and my grandparents were very active in the Quaker community. My mom spent some time searching for a faith she connected with and attended the Quaker meeting in Toronto. When my parents married, she formally affirmed her membership to the meeting. As a child in a Quaker family, there were no baptisms, communions, or any formal religious events. You are not considered a member of your meeting since you are not old enough to decide for yourself. I grew up attending the Simcoe Muskoka monthly meeting, which sadly no longer exists. First day school, what we call Sunday school, occurred every second week, and that was when we drove from my hometown of Barrie to Orillia to attend meeting. Meetings typically last 1 hour, and as a child in my meeting, you partook in silent worship for the first 15 minutes. I'm not sure how every meeting does it, but I always remember our cue that first day school would begin was after Ed, a member of the meeting, told a story. There were about 10 children in this meeting, though not everyone was there consistently. In meeting, everyone is equal, even the children. If you feel moved to speak, you can do so. I don't remember ever doing so as a child, but I've been told by my parents that I said goodbye to my grandfather during his Quaker funeral when I was 3. In school, I was the only Quaker. It didn't come up much in conversation, but if it did, I invariably had to explain it. My explanation changed over the years as I learned more and my perspective grew. As I got older, my life got busier, which combined with internal problems in my meeting caused me to go very infrequently. My main tie to friends was through a Quaker camp called Camp Nakonis. My dad started taking me there when I was 3. I attended nearly every summer, and as I got older, I volunteered to work some of the camps as well as attend. At the camp every morning, there was a meeting for a half hour, with an hour-long meeting on Sundays. If the weather was nice, we would take mattresses out of the meeting house to the hill overlooking Georgian Bay. Many of the other people who attended weren't Quaker, but this time of silence really brought us together. When I went to university, I began infrequently attending the meeting in Kingston. I was familiar with this meeting since I'd gone many times in the summer since my family owns a cottage near there. It was around this time that I began considering whether or not I wanted to affirm my membership, essentially state whether or not I wanted to be a Quaker. I'm a very scientifically minded person, something that was encouraged growing up. As a result, I consider myself to be fairly agnostic and not Christian. However, I belong to a religious community that encouraged free thinking. I do believe in a higher power than myself, whether you refer to it as the light or the universe, and I believe that there is a part of that light in everyone. I also agree with the principles of unity and peace. Around the time I was considering my membership, I began talking to one of my classmates. He hadn't really heard of Quakers before, and once again, I explained my religion. It's kind of funny thinking back now, since that classmate knows two of the only Quakers in Thunder Bay and is sitting here with us today. Through talking and thinking, I decided to affirm my membership as part of the Thousand Islands monthly meeting in Kingston. Since moving up here to Thunder Bay, I haven't been able to participate much in Quaker life. However, I have found this community of like-minded people to be quite fulfilling, if a little talkative. I do, however, miss the silence of meeting. So if you would please join me in participating in a short Quaker-style worship. The silence will last approximately 15 minutes. If at some point during the time you feel moved by the Spirit or compelled to speak, you are welcome to stand up and do so. I will end the meeting by standing up and holding the person's hand next to me. If everyone can join me in doing this, we will break the silence and I will open the floor to community reflections.